Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tell you what, I think if you put Madison Baumgartner on the Oakland A's with that offense, and they got a lot of guys that and middle relievers that throw the balls in the mid to upper 90s, you put a guy like Madison Baumgartner on the Oakland A's, and you see what they do every season. In the second half,
yep.
They come out and they almost lead the league in scoring runs. And I think if they had an ace starter on that team, along with the Trinan as the closer, those guys would be right up there.
All right, Coach, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that, and I'm sure A's fans out there appreciate it as well. Yeah, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I mean, how do we know that the ace you say they so desperately need isn't on their roster? It just happens to be on the, it's not the DL anymore, it's the IL. I don't like that at all. In that respect, I'm a crotchety old baseball guy where, yeah, I like the DL. I don't want to call it the IL. I've been calling it the DL for 50 years. Well, it's not like I was two running around talking about the disabled list. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. They have got a bunch of really good young pitchers who are out right now. And whether they come back during the second half or you got to wait all the way until next year, there is a good rotation there somewhere. It's just that about four-fifths of it is hurt right now. And, yes, we talked yesterday about the A's being a second-half team, and I have no doubt they'll do it. Here's my point about Madison Baumgartner and the Oakland A's. And I say this partly in jest. Do you think he'd be able to look down at his feet in white spikes and not vomit on them? He just strikes me as, I mean, talk about old school. White spikes? I don't know. That may be enough to just keep Mad Bum from waiving any trade clause or ever considering going to Oakland. Okay, if you guys wear black spikes, then I will consider it. But if you're still wearing those white shoes, I'm not into it. I could just see Mad Bum going there. We're taking micro auditions for co-host. You can be my co-host for 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, depends on how good you are. 888-957-9570. Obviously, topic 1A, Golden State Warriors. They took a 3-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals by coming back from way down yet again against the Blazers, who got scared performances, looked kind of scared performances, from a number of key guys on their roster. And nobody, to me, looked more... maybe scared is too harsh. Maybe just not quite ready for the moment. CJ McCollum. And it's a bummer because he's a class act. And clearly, there is a mutual respect in this series that you didn't really have in the first two rounds. It was contentious. It was bitter. There was some hatred. There might have been respect too, but there doesn't seem to be any bad blood in this series. If there's any, it's flowing from Portland to Golden State, or to Oakland, I should say. And it's all from Kevin Durant basically laughing at CJ McCollum on his own podcast when McCollum said, we could win it. And Durant just laughed in his face. And Durant's not even playing, and they're up 3-0. So advantage Durant, right? But McCollum just didn't look ready for the moment. And Dame is banged up. Look, Dame was on his way to having one of those postseasons that etches him forever as an all-time great. He's one of the best guards in the NBA. There's no doubt. But is he top five? I don't know. I think there's a lot of people that might put him in the top five. But if you're on the fence about that, this series, fair or not, may have knocked him out of your top five. Make sure you keep it right here. We're not breaking anytime soon, but after we do break, we are going to be speaking with Kerry Eggers. He is behind enemy lines, so to speak. We've had a podcast going on since this series started, and we will talk to him from up in Portland. There's so many different areas that we haven't gone in when it comes to the Warriors and what's facing them right now. They've got to close out game four on the road. How do you handle that if you're Steve Kerr? How do you handle the guys on the mend on their way back? It's a lot of different tunnels to dig in and out of. And I do want to do strength in numbers. We are back at the point where we can look at their bench and say, yes, strength in numbers. Why? Well, because since KD went down and Steve has decided, Steve Kerr, that is, how exactly he's going to handle his rotation, here's how my bench is best used in the Portland series. And look at what the bench has done in the Portland series, even without KD. Now, part of the reason the bench wasn't very effective for much of the year, why people were saying it's not strength in numbers anymore, it's because you had so many key cogs miss so much time. Oftentimes, you had two of them. You'd have two of your top seven or eight rotation guys unavailable. That changes the way you use your bench dramatically. And just like a bullpen that's missing its closer, like a lineup, a batting order that's missing its leadoff guy or its two-hitter, the lazy approach to that is just move everybody up one, right? Next man up. You hear that all the time. It's not always a smart way to go. But Steve Kerr knew exactly how he wanted to use his bench going into this series. He knew he'd be without KD. And look what the bench is doing. So when we do our strength in numbers segment, I am going to go down the roster and highlight why every single guy, while they were getting dressed after yesterday's game, could do so with their chest puffed out a little bit. If there was somebody in the corridor, in the hallway waiting for them, they knew they were going to walk out to smiles and congratulations because they had done something really, really well or really, really important for their squad. And that's why the Warriors are up 3-0, because they're back to getting contributions from every damn guy on the roster. I'm going to read a couple of quick texts from the Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Let's see. Oh, according to this morning's Chronicle, the A's are no longer in last place. In fact, they're tied for third. Tomato, tomato. Okay, the last time I looked at a newspaper was yesterday, and they were in last place. Okay. Please don't try to paint me as an A's hater. I'm not that. 408, I want this playing style we're seeing right now from Steph, Clay, and Draymond to continue when KD comes back. But how do you see that meshing with KD's brand of ball? Oh, this aggravates me. I'm glad I have a break to stew in it. That's not KD's brand of ball. He came here because he likes the Warriors' brand of ball. And they'll get back to that. They'll play it with KD. But when it fails, KD is what? Everybody together now, the ultimate luxury. On 95.7 again.
Now back to 95.7, the game.
Foreboding tunage. Where am I recognizing this from? I can't place it. Ah, Great Gatsby, that's right. I thought perhaps it was a Game of Thrones nod. And again, why would I know Game of Thrones nod? I have never watched a full episode of Game of Thrones, and that's not wrong. That doesn't make me a bad person. It makes me a non-HBO subscriber. And I know that on Netflix you can now watch it, and I am a Netflix subscriber, which is why in the year 2022, I plan to binge Game of Thrones, because I figure by then the 300,000 people who have, get this, brief detour away from the world of sports. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Mike Lurban. We will be together until 4 o'clock. Warriors World Radio joins us after that. 300,000 people have already signed a petition demanding that the people in charge of Game of Thrones redo the final season. Really? You think that's going to work? Tell you what, you could get 30 million people to sign that petition, and they're not going to change a damn thing about the last season of Game of Thrones. Just enjoy the show you love and just accept it. I hope you all have a wonderful Sunday night with your Game of Thrones. I'll be doing something else. You know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to go to the very start of Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals and hit play and watch nothing but Draymond Green. He was that good last night. I spent a good part of 3.5 hours yesterday blowing Draymond up, talking about how incredible he was in game two. And not sure we've seen him a whole lot better than we saw in game two. Well, guess what? We saw, I don't know if a whole lot better is accurate, but he was better in game three. Definitely the best I've ever seen him. If you want to point to game seven in 2016 when he went for 30-plus, 15 boards, 9 assists, they lost that game. Draymond would not want you to include that on his list of best games. Must be a win. So we're taking auditions to be my micro host. You will get on if you call. It's just how long can you stay on? Because if the first points you make fall flat, he gone, you're out. Let's go to Nick in Berkeley. Nick, how long can you last? What's happening, man? Nick, you with us? Nick. Nick in Berkeley, going once, going twice. He gone. Let's go to Steven in Vallejo. What's up, Steven?
Big Herbs, what's going on, brother? Happy Sunday.
Back to you, man. What you got for us?
The bench has received a lot of hate going into the Western Conference Finals and all the way up to Game 6 last round. But honestly, everybody on this bench has showed great promise throughout the entire season. Look at McKinney, for example. Earlier this season, he was playing phenomenal to start the season, and then he got injured. And when he came back from injury, he never really got the same kind of run. You can look at Jarepko. Jarepko can help space the floor. He can battle for rebounds, and he can get you a timely three here and there. But there's just so much hate about this bench, and they weren't getting any run in the first two rounds of these playoffs. And just to me, it's not strength in starters. It's strength in numbers. And there was just too much focus put on these bench players that were getting, 2, 3, 4 minutes a game.
Well, and as I've talked about this, Steven, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Steve Kerr went into the season. Steve Kerr and his coaching staff went into the season thinking, okay, here's my starting five. Here's the first couple of guys off the bench, my key reserves, which we all know is Iguodala and Livingston. And then after that, here's how, if everything goes our way, here's how I want to use these guys. Here's how we want to use these guys. Here's how we stay strength in numbers. But then, let's say Steph tweaks his ankle and is out for a little bit. Draymond, he gets banged up. Iggy's banged up. Livingston's banged up. At one point or another, throughout the course of the season, every one of their top seven guys, top eight if you want to include DeMarcus once he got back. DeMarcus wasn't available for the bulk of the year. So with him having to, be the little Dutch boy and plug so many different holes, all of a sudden you can't use your bench the way you had it all dreamed up. So, of course, it's going to be less effective than the way you had it all worked out. But now, look, KD's out. We all know that. But they've had time to absorb that and figure out, okay, here's what we have moving forward. Going into the Portland series, in which we don't expect to have KD, here's how we're going to use the bench if everything goes our way. Now, not every single little thing has gone the Warriors' way, but in terms of how Steve is allowed to use his bench and his rotation, all that means is his top line guys have been healthy, so he's able to use the bench the way he wants. And hey, what do you know? Strength in numbers is back. It's beautiful to have strength in superstars. Because if you need to go to a short rotation like they did against the Rockets, you can do that. But it is a lot more fun to watch when everybody is involved. We're going to be talking with Kerry Eggers. He is behind enemy lines. He wrote a nice piece about Klay Thompson and his dad. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. And a lot of people probably don't get this. Into the series, when you heard about roots and childhood favorite team, et cetera, it was about Dame Lillard, right? He wears the number 0 because it represents Oakland. Dame was wearing more Oakland gear than anybody in Oakland as he walked in for game 2 in Oakland. But that was the, here's the hometown kid going against his hometown team for a new city. And then all of a sudden, the first I saw of it, or the first time it was brought to my attention was in my Sporting Green yesterday, and Eggers wrote about it. That's the most recent piece that I've seen from him, and we'll talk with him about that. He wrote about it. Klay Thompson. He grew up a Blazers fan. I didn't know that. I always thought he was a SoCal guy, but Michael Thompson, his dad, he was drafted by the Blazers. Klay spent a good part of his childhood in Portland. And all of his friends say, and people who know the Pacific Northwestern vibe, they say Klay's much more Pacific Northwest than he is SoCal. I don't know. I associate like super laid back with both of those regions. And I don't know that anyone is more laid back than Klay Thompson. But it is interesting that it's not just Dame who's dealing with this. Hey, this is the team of my youth. Bunch of cool little sidelight stories going here. And again, after we talk to Kerry, I am going to break down strength in numbers because yesterday was that perfect game. Here is the way Kerr wants to use his bench in this series, and here's why. Each guy showed, here's why. Here's why, Steve, trust me. Here's what I bring to the table. What does Bud in Oakland bring to the table? Let's find out. What's happening, Bud? Your micro audition starts now. What you got?
Hey, what's going on with you, man?
I'm having the best time right now. Thanks for asking. What's shaking?
Hey, so look, man. I know a lot of people heard let sleeping dogs lie, you know. They should have let Steph Curry alone. They kept on talking about what he couldn't do, what he can't do. Oh, man, this guy, something wrong with him, his finger, this and that. And he just showed you guys, hey, look, man, I know how to let the game come to me. But since you want to keep on poking at me, you want to poke the bear, and I'm going to show you that I'm going to eat everything up that you throw at me. All kind of defenses, you don't want to step up. You want to sag your big man back. You guys thought that Houston broke him and was just tearing him down. And what did he do? He went ahead and went off, and it started, what, a 3-4 game streak for Curry now? He's been at about 35 points or more?
Ever since KD got hurt, Steph has scored 33 in every one of those games, starting with the partial game that KD missed. Steph didn't score in the first half. He scored 33 in the second, and he's had 35-plus in each game since then. Just phenomenal.
And they should have left this guy alone. And, you know, like I said, as far as the team, we know how to win. We've done this already. Moving forward, the guys are hurt. That's why we have strength in numbers. We know how to bring the bench in. Steve Curry know how to use guys and utilize them to the best of their ability. You don't just throw guys out in the shark pond. You go ahead and you put a little worm on the string and you send it out there. You know what I mean? So that's all Steve Curry is doing. He's putting the little worms on the hook. And every time Terry Stotts thinks he's going to make a big adjustment, Steve Kerr, he's going to counteract him with something else. Why? Because Steve Kerr knows how to win. He's been on winning championship teams as a player and now as a coach. So he knows how to win, man. These guys are going to continue to win.
Hey, Bud, solid micro-audition. You've earned yourself another. If you have something else you want to get off your chest, you've earned that.
I'm going to tell you like this. I don't mind Draymond Green saying that he's the best defensive player that he believes. Everybody should have that king mentality inside of them. If you don't believe in yourself, then no one will. So he's never wrong for him saying he's up there at the top of the totem pole. Yes, of this era, because no one can really determine of which era you can be the greatest in. If you've never really got a chance to battle against those guys from the later era, in which the rules of the game was very, very different. You could beat a guy up on a low post, he'll go home with broken ribs, and he would have never got a call. The ref would have never called it the whole game. Nowadays, you can look at a guy and swipe down, and he's going to the free throw line immediately. So, like I said, I don't think that he's wrong, and anybody who has a problem with it doesn't believe in greatness. They have a problem with men being men.
Bud, great job, man. Excellent, excellent phone call. You are welcome to call and be my micro host at any time. And I totally believe you. I mean, I'm with you about Draymond. I'm fine with him saying he's the best defensive player of all time. Now, can I say that he's correct? I don't think any of us can. It's impossible to, you know, compare eras. I get frustrated by that. It's just too difficult. How about just say he's one of the best defensive players that we've ever seen? Certainly in this generation. And yeah, you're not going to be one of the best if you don't think you're the best. I walk into the studio before every show thinking, I'm the best sports talk radio host in the world. Am I? No, I'm not. But if I don't think I'm that, I'll never come close to that. Kerry Eggers, I'm sure, every time he sits down to the keyboard, thinks, I'm the best damn columnist in the world, and who's to say he's not? Hey, I'm on his side because he's giving us his time. Kerry Eggers, of course, is a Portland Tribune sports columnist. He wrote about Clay's deep roots in the Portland region. That's the most recent thing that I've seen from him. Kerry, thank you so much for your time, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Mark. Yeah, I think I'm the very best sports columnist talking to you right now in the world. So
there's no doubt about that in my mind whatsoever. Now, real quick, I did enjoy your piece about Clay and his roots, and I'm sure one of the reasons you were drawn to that story is that, you know, a lot of the talk going into this series was about Dame playing against his childhood team, and not that many. I mean, I feel like I know a lot about the Warriors and all their players. I didn't know Clay grew up a Blazers fan.
Yeah, you know, there's several subplots in this series, and that Damian from Oakland being one, and the Curry brothers is another, and then, you know, Clay too, because, he spent right up to his ninth grade year in Portland. Michael Thompson, who is a friend of mine and just one of the funnest guys to be around, much different personality than Clay. Not that Clay's not, fun to be around, but he's not an effervescent personality like Michael is, and I called him and we talked a little bit about Clay. And, of course, Clay talked a lot about, you know, growing up and in Lake Oswego and his affinity for the Blazers and so forth.
We're speaking with Kerry Eggers. He is a columnist from the Portland Tribune. If you would like to follow him on Twitter, and I suggest you do, it's at Kerry Eggers, the last name. Well, spell both names. K-E-R-R-Y is the first name. E-double-G-E-R-S. Kerry Eggers, at Kerry Eggers on Twitter. Again, Kerry, thank you so much for giving us some of your time. Now, look, you go into Oakland, you drop the first couple of games. Clearly not ideal, but not, you know, that you have some people say, well, series doesn't even start until the home team loses a game. So apparently the series just started yesterday when the home team lost a game. But did you feel like after game two that, oh boy, the Blazers are in big time trouble? And if you did feel that, was it because they had blown the big lead?
I didn't think. Here's what I felt. I felt like they weren't out of the series. Not that at the start of the playoffs, I picked Portland and Golden State to reach the finals, and I picked the West Conference finals, and I picked Golden State in five. As we headed into the finals, I altered that. I said seven. With Durant out, I really thought Portland was a pretty good match for Golden State. But, you know, the second halves have been the difference. The last two games, the Blazers have gotten a great jump on the Warriors, 18 points, one game, 17 the next. And, boom, in that third quarter, the Warriors are right back on them like, you know what. And I give them a lot of credit for that. Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum are not playing to the superstar status that they played through a lot of this season. And frankly, the Warriors have just been a better team over the three games.
Yeah, hey Kerry, I think in the Bay Area here, if there is a favorite NBA player who doesn't play for the Warriors, I would think Dame's probably the guy. He's at least in the top three for sure. I mean, we love Dame out here, but ever since that spill that he took in game two, where I forget who it was that landed on him, and he clearly felt it. He was in a little bit of pain. We didn't hear anything about it last night, but then today and post-game last night, we started hearing about separated ribs. What do you know about that and the severity, and how much is it really affecting Dame?
Well, to his credit, Michael, that's the main question that was asked today at the availability out of the Blazers practice facility for him, and he isn't using that as an excuse. And I don't know how much it's bothering him. I know he's not 100%, but he said it didn't bother him when he was shooting. It is a little sore. He did hurt it early in that second game. So, who knows how much of a factor it is. I think just as much of a factor as the job that Golden State's doing. You know, they're putting Klay Thompson and or Andre Iguodala, both 6'6", 6'7", big, good defenders, and he's 6'3", and that's tough. And then beyond that, as he gets around that pick, there's another, a lot of times Draymond Green or somebody else, and it's just been hard for him to penetrate. Even when he penetrates and gets to the rim, somebody's there to swat it away. So what he's trying to do is penetrate and find an open man. He's done a pretty good job of that, but as he said last night, he said, I think the Warriors know that unless I get rolling, we're not going to win.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, with it's a cumulative thing, too. I mean, with each possession, with each quarter, with each game, they ding him up just a little bit more. They're throwing a ton of attention at Dame, and their traps just were so ultra-aggressive last night in particular. And let's face it, he didn't pass very well out of the traps, and it looked like he was a little bit befuddled. Am I reading too much into that?
No, you're right. He had four turnovers in the first half. He's just been out of sorts. And the other part of it is C.J. McCollum, who, frankly, had been the better of the two guards through the first two rounds of the playoffs. He was averaging almost 25 points a game, making big clutch shots, and he has not done that in these last two games. He was 0-for-4 in the fourth quarter of game two. And then last night, I just thought, I mean, I've never seen him miss that many free throws. He was 1-for-4 in the fourth. This is a guy that's about an 88% foul shooter. And then after missing two, the Blazers get the rebound. They get the ball to him for a wide-open three, and they're only down 5 at the time, air ball. So, you know, it's not just Damian that's having trouble right now.
Yeah, and at that point, you got to think, look, for somebody as physically skilled as C.J. McCollum is and on the role he was in through the first two rounds of the postseason, and then you see this, you got to think that there's something going on, you know, in that 6 inches between the ears that certainly wasn't going on in the first two rounds. They've eroded those two guys' confidence. And look, there's a lot of people who think that Dame and CJ are right up there with Steph and Clay in terms of the top backcourts in the league. But if you're just taking it based on this series, you're laughing at that comparison.
Yeah, and that's not really fair because you have to take the whole body of work. I think there's three.
Agreed.
Great guard tandems, the other one being Harden and Paul and Houston. I put those three all in the same level, and I put Steph and Thompson number one for what they've accomplished. But the other two, and I include Lillard and McCollum in there, they're very, very good also.
The voice you hear is that of Kerry Eggers. He is a sports columnist for the Portland Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Kerry Eggers. Kerry, so going back to CJ, when they flashed on him, they gave a close-up. It was late game. He had already missed a handful of free throws. He was at the free throw line. And then, you know, they did the zoom in just to kind of get a glimpse into the window of the soul. And he looked like he didn't want to be there, man. I mean, I could have predicted the misses that followed.
Yeah, it's funny because I've never seen that. I certainly have never accused him of being a guy who gets, you know, who chokes in the clutch.
Right.
And, you know, I hate to use that word very freely because, listen, these guys are human and it's difficult. There's a lot of pressure on them, especially when you're in that situation.
And he's such a solid pro, and this is a position he's never really been in. I mean, you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it was something we don't see from him.
That's right. And so, I didn't get to see that close-up. I'm just sitting in the stands.
Right.
But, you know, it's unusual for him, let's put it that way.
So with KD, with Kevin Durant out, one of the debates that's going on here in the Bay Area, and you might get a kick out of this, Kerry, is that people are actually trying to convince themselves that the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant. Now, that may be, a defense mechanism against the, I would say, most people in the Bay Area think he's going to leave, present company not included. I really don't think KD has decided yet. I mean, He's proven to us that he's nothing if not a little bit eccentric, a little bit, you know, tough to read. He's kind of an odd dude. Not a bad dude, just an odd dude. But knowing that he's probably wasn't going to play in the Blazers series, did that give the Blazers any more confidence that this was a vulnerable Warrior team?
Yeah, absolutely. As Steve Kerr said the other night, he's the best player in the league. Now, you could argue that, but he's certainly one of the top three or four. So, I think he's even more valuable than Steph Curry, who has been phenomenal this series, 36, 37, 36. Holy smokes. But, yeah, I there's no way that the Warriors, by the way, are better off without Durant. But in answer of your question, I think it did give them more hope. And, as just somebody that observing the series, I mean, it's one less guy you have to focus your defensive attention on, but it evidently hasn't made as much difference as we all thought.
Terry Stotts has had himself a great season, and the Blazers have gotten farther than they've been in 19 years. It's the first time in 19 years they've been to the Western Conference Finals. But it does appear, at least from this observer's eyes, that he hasn't quite figured out what adjustments he needs to make. Or has he, and they're not executing the adjustments that he'd like them to make?
Well, I mean, he started Myers Leonard at center last night instead of Cantor. Cantor came in, in February, mid-season, to be the backup for Jusuf Nurkić. 3 weeks later, Nurkić goes down mm-hmm. with a season-ending injury, and Cantor's done a terrific job. But in the playoffs, he's not played as well. He said he's got a shoulder injury. I don't know how much that's bothering him, but he's not finishing around the rim, and he's not a great defender. So I thought it was a good adjustment. Myers is a big body that, well, you know, he's not afraid to push people around a little bit inside. He also is a good three-point shooter. He had three threes in the first half last night. So I thought that was a good adjustment. I don't know what more you can really do defensively because, you're putting as much effort as you can into slowing down Steph Curry. They've been, Curry's just been making some amazing shots. So, I don't know what more they can do. Defensively, I think, they're just where they are. Offensively, they can change some things, but I don't know how much you can change now when you're down 0-3, too. So we'll see.
So, Kerry, are we going to see you at Oracle next Wednesday for a Game 5, or do the Warriors wrap this thing up tomorrow?
It's difficult to predict. I'll tell you this. The Blazers really want to win tomorrow. It's not like, let's get on to Cancun or Cabo.
Right.
They want to win. It's a prideful group. They've been resilient all year. Certainly they're not going to win this series, but I kind of think they'll win tomorrow and make us go down to the lovely Bay Area for one more trip.
You know, what's a shame, Kerry, is that, and I know it was already decided, is that they weren't able to at least come back to Portland for a minute after, that incredible victory in the previous round and going right into the buzzsaw that is the Warriors. I would have liked to see the city of Portland get to greet them while they were on top of the world because that was, that was the zenith of their season.
Yeah, that's a good point. Terry Stotts brought that up, too, before game one of this series. And, the fans here were really, really high on this group. It's a good character group. Lillard is very popular here. He's chosen to live here now year-round, and McCollum, too. And so, it's too bad that, there's now I'm hearing some little, grumbling about let's trade Stott or let's fire Stott.
Oh, jeez.
I think we have to make some moves. Of course, how fickle fans are. But in general, I think the overriding feeling is this team accomplished quite a bit this season.
Yeah, we just got further than we've been in 18 years. Let's fire the guy because we didn't beat one of the most historically great teams in the history of the league. Hey, Kerry, thank you so much for your time, man. I could talk ball with you forever. We're up against it. Look forward to, I kind of would like to, just for Portland, just for Dame, I'd like to see him get a win, but I'm not going to be mad if I don't see you next Wednesday at Oracle.
Well, all the writers, when you get down in 0-3, you kind of, let's get this thing over with, how we're feeling about it.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks again for your time, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, that's Kerry Eggers of the Portland Tribune. Sean is on hold. He is going to lead us off. We're going to go back to our micro auditions, and we're also going to hit the Chilton Autobody text line. Somebody hit a Michael Jordan point on the Chilton Autobody text line that, I don't often say this, I had never even considered this. What is it? We'll give that to you, but not a moment too soon on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Now, here is a series that I can speak fairly intelligently about. Narcos, Netflix. Uncle Townie recommended it to me. And I watched the first season, reported back to him how great I thought it was. He goes, I'm going to have to check that out. I'm like, you turned me on to it. What do you mean you're going to have to check it out? Yeah, I turned you on to it. I didn't say I'd watched it. Okay, Uncle Townie. But there were two seasons, and then they took a little break, and then there is Narcos Mexico, which has already started, and I haven't started in on that. I bring it up because I guess I misspoke. I said Game of Thrones is on Netflix. I've seen part of a Game of Thrones episode, and I don't have HBO. How did that happen? Is it possible that I went to Xfinity and did the voice remote, and somehow I was allowed to watch it somewhere else? Anyway, Chilton Autobody text line tells me Game of Thrones is not on Netflix. I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen Game of Thrones. Good luck to all of you that are pretty much anticipating being let down tonight. That's no way to go into the night. Don't go into it expecting to be let down. Expect to be wowed. Like when you turn the radio on, you've heard that Herbs is going to be on the air. You're expecting to be wowed. Well, that might be a little bit much. I'm not in the Game of Thrones or Narcos arena in that respect just yet. Robin is on hold. Sean is still on hold. We will get to them very shortly. We are taking, once again, this worked really well yesterday, and it's worked well so far today. Yesterday was maybe my favorite day of callers, my single favorite day of callers. Everybody was coherent. Everybody was so, well, no, not everybody was sober. There were a couple guys that were just high as a kite, trust me. And they were good. They were funny. It added life to the show. It's kind of what we're doing. If you make good points early on in the call, then we'll keep you on. If you call, and the number is 888-957-9570. If you call, if you don't piss off Joe Sherry, who is my producer for the day, and he is going to be the one taking your call. If you don't piss him off, he'll put you on the call board. And if you get on the call board, I'll get you on the air. How long you stay on the air, it's entirely up to you. Now, I mentioned the Michael Jordan as we were going out, and this came in the Chilton Autobody text line 95795. This is from someone who obviously has heard me before, listened to me yesterday. I have talked about it being impossible to compare eras, players from different eras. And it came up because Draymond Green says he's the best defensive player of all time. He is certainly unique in the history of basketball in that he can guard 1 through 5. And when he's that 5, how many 5s do you know can rip down a rebound and then lead the break full speed and make the right decision? There's never been anybody like that. Not in any era. This is the first one, the first Draymond Green. But I do tend to believe it's almost impossible, especially when you're talking about teams, comparing teams across eras. But I kind of threw a blanket over it and said, you just can't compare eras, period. But this person knows that I put Michael Jordan above everybody as the best player of all time. If you want to have the argument with me about who's the best player of all time, let's start with who comes after MJ. That's just me. Is that biased? Is that, I don't know, my own generation bias? Yeah, probably a little bit. I'll admit to that. But that's the one. He's the one guy that I think you can compare to other guys in other eras. And you may disagree with that. That's fine. As I said yesterday, and it's worked out really well, we can disagree. Now, it's how we disagree that determines whether or not this is a good show or I'm a good host. If we're yelling at each other, then I have failed myself miserably because I don't want to be that host and I don't want this to be that show. However, if you disagree with me vociferously, but you express yourself lucidly, with respect, yet still passionate, we're going to get along just fine. Even if you think I am a knucklehead, that's fine. In fact, I am a knucklehead at least half my life. But the other half, I kind of know what I'm talking about. Or at least I think I do, and you think you do too. As long as we exchange civilly, we will be just fine. So let's give Sean the floor. This is his micro audition. What are you going to do with it, Sean? What do you got for me today? Sean, are you with me? Sean in Oakland. Sean is not with me. Wow. Well, I think that's probably for the best because, Sean, if you had gone in and we say goodbye to you and then my next caller comes in, she's going to be better than you. And I just don't want to put you up. You don't need that kind of pressure. So let's just welcome in Robin. She's not even auditioning. She could be my co-host anytime. Love Robin to death. She's in San Francisco. What do you got, Robin?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to let you know I have never watched one episode of Game of Thrones. I even bought the movie Black Panther and still haven't watched it, okay? I just have to be in the mood for certain things.
All right. You're going to enjoy Black Panther. My daughters bought Black Panther at my house without telling me. I'm glad they did.
Okay. I have never watched it, and I bought it, okay? I'll get around to it one day. I got three quick points. I hope I can get them out quickly because they're kind of scattered, but I like to be logical. The first thing, it doesn't really require a response, but I listen to these fans and sports pundits. If the Warriors are not that great without KD, then what's the problem y'all have with him staying there, okay? That is not logical.
That is a good point.
Okay. I mean, it's not. It's just not logical. And then the second thing that I want to say, overall, I'm just talking about last night's game. I like to process information as a whole and not, Draymond was great. Times Curry was great. But overall, I think the Warriors were really sloppy. I saw that as a junior varsity game versus a varsity team. A junior varsity team against a varsity team. And I say that because the Warriors, and I might be looking ahead, the Warriors are going to have to do better than that with or without KD if they're going to go up against a much larger and lengthier Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
That's my second point. My third point is this.
Robin. You're making good points. Take a breath. I'm not going to run you off. Take a breath. I want you to enjoy your time in the limelight.
Okay, that's why I do that. And then my third point is this. I've been reading, on social media. I don't have Instagram and all that, or Twitter and all that. I just do the Facebook, and I've been kicked off of that for 30 days for comments. But I'm able to view stuff, and it says...
Wait. I'm sorry, Robin. I got to jump in there again. What did you get suspended from Facebook for?
Because I belong to this sports group, and the guys really don't know that I'm a girl. Some of them do. And they talk a whole lot of crap, and they're young. And so when they get at me hard, I get back at them harder. And then they get soft, and they report me.
I don't want to be on your bad side, Robin, ever.
They actually don't have the intellectual concept to even step to me, so or mindset to even step to me. But I got to behave sometimes. The third point I want to make is I'm tired of people saying, oh, Draymond Green, you take him off another team, take him off the Warriors, and he wouldn't do the same. That tells me people don't really have any insight into basketball. Because if you take Draymond Green, say, off the Warriors, and you put him on Atlanta, or you put him on the Sacramento, and someone said Detroit, I said, there's no help for Detroit no matter what you do. I mean, offensively, what he does, he could make those teams go. So that tells me that they're only looking at Draymond in one dimension and not what he can add overall to a basketball team that, quote, allegedly doesn't have all-stars. People are forgetting the fact when he started out, they were not all-stars, okay? He is the foundation, one of the foundations to why it works. And that's all I got to say. I want people to start thinking, start using logic. I mean, it's not hard. It's not a crime to think. Trust me.
Robin, you're the best. Yeah, and don't take this the wrong way. I think you'll know the spirit in which I'm saying this. You're the man.
Thank you, Sugar. No, I don't take this the wrong way.
All right, Robin, take care. Again, Robin doesn't have to audition, and the 5'10 agrees with me. Put Robin on the Warriors float at the parade. That's a decent idea. Hey, guess what? You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. We're also, of course, the flagship home of Warriors games on the radio. I have to give props to Raider Debater. He even spelled his own nickname wrong in one of these texts. Raider B-Bater? Anyway, it doesn't matter what your name. Raider Debater, thank you for your loyalty. I appreciate it. Raider Debater says, I love you. You're becoming one of my favorite hosts. You cover everyone's calls and texts. Again, I appreciate that. We are a show of the people. I think we're a station of the people. I think we do a pretty good job of that in general. But it's not like we just throw a caller on and say, go, say what you want for as long as you want. That's why I call these micro auditions. You get to say your piece. I'll give you maybe 40 seconds to say it. And if it's a good point, maybe we'll dabble. Maybe we'll go a little bit further. If it's a great point, we'll make sure that we give you the floor for another take or two. It just depends on how good you are. And why on earth would I ask for it? Look, I appreciate that you appreciate what I do, but what I do is a gigantic duh. I can't ask you to hit me on the Chilton Autobody text line and then not read the Chilton Autobody text line, right? I can't say, hey, call, let's talk. And then you call, you talk for 10 seconds. I say, no, cut him loose. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's not how it works. We exchange ideas. Look, ultimately I have the veto, right? I have the microphone. Actually, ultimately, the most power rests with Wes Mills. And what I love about him is he doesn't abuse his power. He's stoic about his use of the power. He will never let you know he's in charge. He just is. Without Wes flexing his muscles, I'm going to have to do it for him. So, Chris, be good or you'll be gone. Chris in Pacifica, the micro audition is yours. What's happening?
How's it going, Herbs? I just wanted to say that you're one of the nicest guys. When you meet them in the streets, you're always willing to talk, and I just want to say that.
Thank you, man. Where did we meet?
I think the last time I saw you was at a Giants game. You were inside at Public House, I think.
Okay, and I see you're from Pacifica. You know I've got some Pacifica in my past, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I was the sports editor of the Pacifica Tribune for 4 years earlier in my career.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, I was, first off, it's a weekly newspaper, and all you young journalists out there, don't stay at a weekly newspaper for 4 years. Be there for a year and a half and bounce. Get out of there. But I was making what I thought was really good glue. I mean, I was making 25 grand. I thought I was rich.
That was good back in the day.
No doubt. All right, what you got, man?
So I just wanted to say that these past three games for the Warriors and this whole Warriors run, this playoffs has been probably the most adversity that we've faced with all these injuries. And with the summer looming, I just really hope that it's basically a public service announcement to all the Warriors fans. I just hope the Warriors fans are embracing and really taking in the excellence we've seen these past 5 years. Now that we're leaving Oakland and we're going into Chase in San Francisco, there's a lot of uncertainty we're going to face. And I just really hope that people are soaking it all in. And hopefully it looks like we're going to make it to the finals. Hopefully we finish the deal. And I just hope that we're thankful because these kinds of moments don't come around very often, you know, Herbs.
Yeah, Chris, hey, I see up on the board when the producer answers, they put your first name, they tell me where you're from, and then they give me...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.